As I mentioned before, we're going to be in 1 Samuel. And we'll be reading verses 22 to 25. Let's stand at the reading of God's word. I don't always do this, and I should, to show reverence. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 22 to 25, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great namesake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, be with the message tonight. Empower me to speak boldly on your behalf. We do ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So the verse of the year, when we talk about it, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart, for consider the great things he hath done for you." I love the fact that Pastor Brown mentioned some of the wonderful things God had did for him this morning. As Jackie had mentioned, others have mentioned, God does marvelous works for us. But as we're looking at this passage, we're going to look at three different positions. We're going to focus on one. But the first person of position, we're going to look at God the Father and his position in our life. The second is we're going to look at the preacher. The preacher has responsibility. But number three is you have a responsibility to God, a very serious one. In fact, the pastor couldn't even come close to covering all the bases that you guys cover week to week. And you wouldn't want Pastor Brown and myself in choir. You guys think you're suffering at base now? Just wait till you hear us too, especially tonight. We need good folks. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. I just love that thought. "And with all your heart, for consider the great things he hath done for you as a group." So the moment is come. Two thoughts. Number one, only fear the Lord. And number two, serve him in truth. Fear him, serve him. Fear him, serve him. Your responsibility as a congregation, Christians throughout this nation, Christians throughout the world, fear him and serve him. Fear him and serve him. Wow, that's really simple. We've heard that before. Well, the reason I have to preach it is not every one of us gets that, including the guy preaching. Sometimes I don't fear him like I ought to. Sometimes I don't serve him like I ought to. So the message needs to be reiterated again and again. But number one, let's talk about the pleasure revealed. In verse 22, it says, "The Lord will not forsake his people for his name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." Think about that. God will never leave his people. Never, ever, 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 ever. The moment Judy Wilmot got saved, God has never left her. There was an earnest of the Holy Spirit dwelling within her. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 5:5. And from that moment all the way through this morning at 10:40, she had this earthly vessel, but she is now with the Lord. God will never leave her. He will never, ever leave her. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." While there's never been a time in our life, the moment you get saved, that you're without God. Think about that. There's not one moment you're without God. Do we always act like that? Do we ever get a case of the, "Oh, why me? Why is my life so hard?" God is never away from you when you are saved. No matter how lonely you feel. In fact, can I just tell you, when Hollywood says follow your heart, that's a lie of the devil. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Bible. God will never leave you. Amen. It's awesome. Who forgets it? This guy here. "Who's going to sell my house? Oh man, my house is up for sale in Berlin. Oh." God's already taken care of it. He knows who the buyer is. He knows how much it's going to sell for. He knows when. I've not missed a meal. I've not prayed for my daily bread. God just keeps providing. He just keeps giving it. I don't need to ask for the bread because he just brings it. I just thank him for it. What a wonderful country I live in. What a wonderful church I go to, where person after person can say how their pastor has blessed them, how person after person can talk about how other church members have blessed them. We go to a unique place. Don't downgrade your church. I know it's hard because you're here and you kind of notice some of the stains in the carpet, the stains in the pastor's shirt. You notice the guy's wearing a bow tie. You notice weird things about this place. But the greater idea here is you go to a good place. God has given this to you. He's given you a Bible. He's given you a church. He's given you a pastor. He's given you friends. He's given you a country that you can preach the gospel freely in. Tom Krenz, you go witnessing with him, you get to meet the police. Is that true, Tom? Every once in a while, the police will come visit you, though, while you're door knocking. And you know what? You know what they say? Keep on going. They may not like it, but we still live in a country where we could preach the gospel freely. Thank God for it! We have food, raiment, shelter. While we may not all be rich financially, we live better than those in Juarez, Mexico. And I've seen how they live in Juarez, Mexico. And by the way, if you go down to Juarez, Mexico, they're thankful they don't live as bad as someone else. You'd be surprised. God has been really good to us. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Risen, he's justified freely forever. Someday he's coming, oh glorious day. Aren't you excited about that? That song, One Day? Why does God choose to have that kind of intimacy with us and give us all these wonderful things? It's like Christmas morning every day. Why does he do that? Because it pleases him. It pleases him to give Mike Strickland blessings. It pleases him to give us a Bible. It pleases him to have intimacy with God's people. It pleases him when you pray to him and thank him for all these things. It pleases him. It pleases him. There's no one on this planet that knows you as well and provides for you like our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody. Number two. So we got God. God has his pleasure revealed to us. And then we're going to talk about the prophet's responsibility. So in this section of Scripture, we have Samuel. He is talking to the nation of Israel. This is shortly after King Saul has been anointed. He's won a battle. Woohoo! It's almost like, I want to say, a benediction of sorts. So he's talking to these people of Israel, and he's telling them, hey, look, you need to do something. You want this king thing to work out? And he wasn't real pleased with the whole thing, but he said this. He says, hey, look, I have a responsibility, number one. He says this, moreover, as for me, in verse 23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Number one, for the preacher, it's my responsibility as a preacher to pray for you without ceasing. Can I tell you, that verse was really convicting when I read it this week. Whew. Do I always pray for Jared Metham? Sometimes when I see a Facebook post, I go, oh yeah, I prayed for you. A pastor needs to pray for his people. We need pastors who pray for their people. Get on their knees. Thank God for the people. Call them by name. Name before the Lord. We shouldn't cease praying. And then here's the other thing. I'm thankful for Pastor Brown. Another thing you should thank God for. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Pastor Brown, for 34 years here, has preached the good and the right way. Not his own thoughts, not his own ideas, but from the Bible. And Lord willing, if I'm the next guy, I pray that for me. I want to make sure I'm preaching to you guys the good and the right way. Week after week, year after year, because that's the pastor's responsibility. 1 Peter 4, turn there, 1 Peter 4. I love this idea of having good pastors. What a challenge. What a challenge it is to be a good pastor, especially when you've been around a couple good ones. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Remember, these are good stewards. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is my motivation for preaching well and preaching you the truth? That God be glorified. Now, I don't mind. There's been plenty of people that come up to me and say, oh, that was a good message. Number one, they may lack discernment. I hope not. But more importantly is, I don't want someone just to say to me, good message. I want to hear, wow, the Holy Ghost really worked in me. Because there's been some terrible messages that at least I felt were terrible, that God worked in someone's life. And I was going, wow, I can't believe anyone got anything out of that. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work. I want to hear how God is using you. Because, trust me, I don't need my ego stroked any more than it already is, because my head would get too big. I wouldn't be able to fit through a door. It'd start looking like Mike's head, really big. We need to focus on God. For days, I've been struggling with this message because in here, I want the praise. My heart is desperately wicked and it wants praise. It really wants someone to tell me how wonderful I'm doing. I really want to please the Lord. And you have to remind yourself that really frequently. Because as a pastor, I've gone to a church where they had the pastor quoted up there, and they had another pastor's quote, a former pastor's quote, right on that side, and then they had a Bible verse in the middle. I love Pastor David Brown. None of his quotes are ever making it to these walls. I don't think he wants one up here. This isn't about man show, how wonderful I am. This is about the man of God preaching the truth to God's people. So don't think when I'm saying this next part that this is just, hey, this is what you guys have to do. It's God's pleasure that he never leaves us, that he never forsakes us, that he's with us all the time. It's the pastor's responsibility to pray for you guys and then to teach you the good and the right way. And then next is the people's responsibility. This is the meat of the message. Verse 24, our verse of the year. I hope you memorize this verse. I hope you memorize it. Number one, it's an easy verse to remember. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Let me read that one more time. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Consider. If you're being told something, if you were to grab tablets, this is an iPad mini, and it's got information on it. And if you grab Tim Thanis's tablet, and it's an Android tablet, and we just start talking about the what, and I go, mine will access the internet, and I can look up things on here, and I can put an app on here, and I can do that. Tim's can do the same thing. His can access the internet. He can put apps on his. And we start talking about the what. You know what? The what is boring. The what doesn't reach the hearts. The why is what reaches hearts. Why did you buy this? Oh, Tim likes Android, so he got it because it's Google. I got the iPad for a good reason. Pastor Brown has one. And so, the why is what motivates us to do something. It's the cause. I don't go up to somebody and go, hey, Vacation Bible School is coming up. You want to serve juice? Some crackers, some kids will give you attitude, you got to kind of treat them nice. If you get too rowdy, you got to talk to their parents. Oh, please, sign me up. Oh, please. Would you like to work in nursery? You get to deal with kids' dirty diapers, kids that freak out when their parents leave? Oh, please, let me sign up. But this isn't about the what. This isn't about the what. It's about the why. For consider, how great things he hath done for you. There's a story of Steve Jobs, since we're talking about Apple, talking with Steve Jobs in his first round at Apple, and he was trying to lure an executive away from Pepsi Corp. And the guy was like, I don't know. And Steve Jobs makes a comment to him. He says, hey, do you just want to sell sugar water the rest of your life, or do you want to change the world? Has Apple changed our world in many, many ways? Absolutely. When we're talking about a Vacation Bible School, do you just want to sit home during the week? Or do you want to change some kid's world? You're telling me a Vacation Bible School could change someone's world? Yes. Do you think the youth group could change someone's life? Yes. Do I think being in choir can change someone's life? Yes. For consider how great things he hath done for you. What has God done for you? It's not about impressing me. What has he done for you? The why should be the motivation for what you are doing as a Christian. The what comes in many different ways. If I was called to preach, if I wasn't called to preach, that was less important than me serving God. I was serving God for free before I ever became a pastor. I wasn't going, well, I'll serve God if he pays me. Because when I get paid, then I know. I was doing it beforehand because I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. The what, though, is much more easy to describe. So let's talk about the what. We just talked about the why. We'll get back to that. Let's talk about the what. So you're told to do two things. You are told, number one, only fear the Lord. It's easy to remember the definition of fear the Lord. This is, maybe it's too basic, but it's reverence to God with hatred of sin. Hear the thought. God alone is the one thing you are able to revere, to respect, to hold in high regard, to acknowledge his power, to remember his love for you. He desires you to respect him. And the way you respect him is you hate sin. Hatred of sin. The phrase is common in Scripture, and it's something we say. Maybe it's a little cliche. Do you have the fear of God? Do you have the fear of the Lord in you? Fear of the Lord is a game changer. It changes what we do. If you look earlier in 1 Samuel 12, it says this in chapter 14. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. This is what keeps you on the right path. When you make any decision, you will look to enlist God's will in your decision. What made David so different? He gave God his heart. He was a man after God's own heart. What do you say? What do you think? Where do you go? Are you asking for God's voice? Are you obeying his voice? Are you serving him? Are you rebelling against his commandments? When you think about it, do I fear the Lord? Why do I wear what I wear? No comments. Why do I wear what I wear? A lady, when she goes to the closet, if she has fear of the Lord, she's going to think about the three L's that I learned here. If I learned something at First Baptist Church, it's the three L's. Long, loose, and lots of it. Is she going to think about that? Because I'm telling you, God's not going to be displeased. Well, you know what? That shirt was a size too big. So far, that hasn't, I don't think too many people are offended by that. Long, loose, and lots of it. Is what the lady choosing is a glorifying to the Lord. Now, the guy is going to church. If you don't wear a tie to church, does that mean you're of the devil? In fact, Pastor Brown would go so far as to say you should hang the man who invented the tie. You should wear your best to church. You should wear your best. You're going before the King of Kings. You should wear your best to church. Now, for other people, it means different things. I'm just telling you, for me in my house, I'm going to wear a tie. I'm going to wear a shirt and tie. Should come dressed to meet with the king. If you're in the king's service, if you're ushering, if you're in the choir, if you're out there, how are you going to dress? And I just mentioned dress, but what about the music you listen to? What about what you watch? What about what you read? What about where you go? What about what food you choose that goes into your house? What about, have you really sought God's will in your life? And how deep does it go? Is it just the big decisions? God, who should I marry? A Christian? Okay, I'll find somebody. Or does it go deeper than that? Many people only want God's will in their life when they're running into a crisis. Oh man, this isn't working out. I got to choose something different. I have to go somewhere else. Let me choose God's will now. You have to choose it continually because when the decisions come up and you're faced with them, it makes it easy because you've been obeying and you've been listening to his voice the whole time. Serve him. If you have a checklist of how you serve God, what would it include? What would it include? May I be so bold to say that if you're doing something in church and you do it for your own glory or benefit, that doesn't count. Whew. Are you telling me that there'd be somebody in this church that would serve God and would have motives that aren't pure? Yes. So I'm going to inquire. I don't know why people do things. Maybe they want a position. Maybe they want to be up in front of everybody. Maybe they think it's the social club, so it's the thing to do. If Carla does it, I have to do it, and I have to do it better. I mean, I don't know why people do what they do. But there's a million different motives for different people. But the grand motive is, whose glory are you doing it for? Serving God means being plugged into your church. That's for sure. If you have a gift of a beautiful voice, ability to teach, or to mentor, there's places to serve right here. Brian Guthrie says, hey, look, we need some basses. If there's someone who can sing bass or tenor, we'll take you. God's looking for talented people, there's no doubt. And we all play a different role. Trust me, they have not enlisted me to choir, so you don't have to worry about that. It isn't my job, though, to determine if you're doing this for God's glory or your glory. However, usually you can tell if someone's really doing it for God. Here's some ways to tell if it's for God. Number one, if you're doing it for God, this is one of the reasons, this is one of the things you can tell. Humbleness. You are indifferent to the position as much as to have the focus on Christ. Hey, can you help in Sunday school? Oh, I would really love to help in Sunday school. Okay, I need you to be the assistant. But I wanted to be the head teacher. You've only been going to church here a week. It's my way or no way. Is it the position or is it your just inability to serve anywhere? Give me a broom. Give me a bucket. I don't care what you have for me to do. I will do it. Humbleness. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and the lofty, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Contrite means you are truly sorry for yourself. Patient. I don't like this one. I want to skip past it. But you can tell if it's God's way because you'll be patient. You don't force opportunities to come your way, but wait on the Lord. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Oh boy, I like running ahead of the Lord. I told my boss, my old boss, said, I'm going to work here 5 years, I'm going to quit, and I'm going to be a pastor. He said, that's fine. 7 years later, I'm thankful I was patient enough to wait for the church that I believe God wants me at. Being patient is so hard. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. If you're not truly in love with the Lord, when you deal with the unlovely people in a church, you don't want to deal with the feeble-minded. You don't want to be supporting any weak people. You don't want to be patient towards all men. You want to get your agenda. You want that checklist to have your task done. I taught that Sunday school and it was wonderful. But when it comes to dealing with difficult people, do you sit there and listen to a difficult person for a few minutes? Are you very impatient with them? I am not the king of patience. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of deep breathing and a lot of counting backwards from 10. And that's okay. It's something we need to learn. Humbleness, patience. Number three, it makes you genuinely uncomfortable to receive praise. 2 Corinthians 9:12-15. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but it abundant, also by many things given unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men and by their prayer for you which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When I receive praise, glorify God. When you receive praise, glorify God. Everyone hold up their hand. This finger, move it. You know who allowed you to move it? God. Give him glory for it. My ability to stand up, my ability to speak, my ability to reason, my ability to drive a car, that's all because of the grace of God. None of us are promised tomorrow. And lastly, I want to say, you are addicted to pleasing Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:14-16 says, let all things be done with charity, love. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, and that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, and that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. You are addicted they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It's addicting to serve God. I would really have a hard time if Pastor Brown said, all right, for the next 3 weeks, don't do anything. You can sit in your office, you can study all you want, but you can't teach, can't. I'd be very antsy, because when you're daily serving other people, it gets very addictive. I love serving God's people. And I think it's the same with many of you here tonight. It's addicting serving God's people. If I told this guy you couldn't serve for a while, for no reason, it would be hard for him. They would have a hard time watching someone else do, because serving God with the right motives is very addicting. However, there's other ways to tell if it's from man. Ways to tell if it's is from a man. I'm not going to go to the verse, but your service is an advertisement for you. If you're trying to serve man, it's an advertisement for you. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew in 6, it says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, that they may be seen. Hey, look, are there some people who want to, like, the guy offering plates coming around, they go like this. Look at my $10 bill. Church's problems are gone forever. I just gave them all the money they need. Look at how wonderful I am. Look how I preached. People love attention. This isn't about doing it in front of men. I love the people that do secret ministry to other people. They're quiet about it. They're not looking to get glory for it. It's just wonderful to see people like that. So if you are looking to have this as an advertisement, you may be in trouble. Number two, you feel anxious when no one notices you. In Philippians, it says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Wow. To let someone else esteem themselves better than each other. Oh, you know, I did that, and I did more work than the other person, but they got all the glory. And you want to tap your fingers because you think you've been slighted. My kid was passed over for the lead role as Joseph in the Christmas play. Why? It isn't about you. It's about the lost family members that show up and the preaching of the gospel to them. I don't care. I don't care where you put me. If someone gets saved, this funeral this week, I don't care if Pastor Brown has me working in the kitchen, working outside, chipping ice off the driveway. If he preaches and someone gets saved, it's worth it all. And then you become frustrated when things don't go your way. God says, be still. And to put your trust in the Lord, be still. When things don't go your way, you get frustrated. You can just feel the anxiety in yourself. This didn't work as I planned. I can't believe it. They just didn't listen to me. This isn't about you. Got to work out the details. That is hard for a guy like me, and perhaps it is for you. But let's just talk about it. When you serve Christ, it must be in truth. Remember that. It just doesn't say just serve him. It says serve him in truth. I'm not spending a whole lot of time on this, but you need to make sure you're serving him in lines with the scripture. All sorts of people earnestly try to serve God. There's good Catholics out there believing they're serving God. There's good Muslims out there believing they're serving God. There's good Baptists out there believing they're serving God. But if it doesn't line up with the scripture, there's something wrong. By doing something contrary to God's word, that is unacceptable. You need both heart and truth in serving God. It's not one or the other. Some people like all truth, some people like all heart, but you need both. Heart. This is directed to the layman. Remember this. Truth. Two men had argument. Couldn't get it solved. One wanted to sue the other one. So they took it to an arbitrator. And the arbitrator's sitting there, and he listens to the plaintiff. And the plaintiff, he goes out and he shows off his story. He talks about all the details and provides the papers and gives his side of the story. And the arbitrator says, yep, that's right, that's right. And the defendant goes, hey, you can't say that. You haven't even listened to my side of the case yet. And the arbitrator sits there and says, all right, well, let's listen. And the defendant gives his side of the case out, and he gives all the details, and he gives this detail, and he provides his paperwork, and he gives all his side of the story. And the arbitrator says, that's right. That's completely right. And then the clerk of court says, hey, you can't be doing that. They can't both be right. And the arbitrator said, yeah, that's right. That's right. Truth is exclusive. When Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me, cometh unto the Father but by me, that's exclusive. Jesus Christ is exclusive. Truth is exclusive. When it's outside of this, and it doesn't agree with this, this is right, they're wrong. Bible is always right. Truth is exclusive. The line of truth is narrow as a razor's edge. By the way, we have the truth. You have to have heart. You have to have a heart for people. You have to show people love and compassion and patience and humbleness. And you have to mix that in with truth. You can't have lies going in there. You can't have heresy going in there. You need to have both. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart. For consider the great things he hath done for you. Recognize these facts. Number one, don't act like you know someone else's heart. There may be times I think I know somebody's heart. Oftentimes I'm wrong. So don't try to judge someone else's heart. It's a pretty hard thing to do. Number two, if you're currently serving, I want to make sure you get this, and you're doing this on your own agenda, I want to tell you, don't quit. I really don't care what your agenda is. I want you to change your agenda. You need to change why you're doing what you're doing. Don't quit the choir. Ask God to work in your heart. Don't quit Sunday school. Ask God to work in your heart. Don't quit preaching. Ask God to work in your heart. Don't quit the ministry. Change your heart. Easy thing is to quit. The hard thing to do is to get your heart right. And if you're not serving, get busy. You need to get busy for the Lord. This doesn't happen on accident. Pastor Brown does not have some magic potion to get people to serve. It's them crossing that invisible line that's right there at that front pew. And when people cross it and they play the piano, and when they cross it and they're in the choir, and when they cross and they're playing the clavinova, and when they cross and when they're leading music, and when they cross and they're making a decision to give their life to full-time ministry, and when they cross that line and they say, God, work in my heart, that's when the work starts getting done. Get busy. God needs people to cross that line, that public display of submission. God, you're doing something in my life. When was the last time you made an altar call? Pastor's a pretty good preacher. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's just the beginning. So there is reaping, and I'll wrap it up. In verse 25, it says, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. At the end of it all, we have a greater responsibility than our own plans, our own dreams, our own lives. Our actions have consequences. The direction of those consequences is based on your actions. Who here thinks they don't have an impact on those around us? You'd be surprised how much of an impact you have on those around you. My children, my wife, the people that are in my Sunday school, the people that are sitting in front of me, I have impact on all of them. And you have a greater impact than you suspect. And if you wonder, hey, what does a country of 300 million people, when they're not serving God, look like? Open the newspaper. Look at 50-some million babies murdered. We got problems. Your actions as an individual affects many, many other people. Jesus Christ has blessed you above anything else on this planet. He's given you a place in his kingdom if you are a Christian. What a wonderful thought that is. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside you at this moment and called upon his name right there inside you. He's the earnest of the Holy Spirit, guiding, ensuing, comforting, convicting, teaching, and much, much more. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God has given you a gift with a wonderful man of God. For all these years, he's given you a church that's paid for. We got good people in the church. It's not about the people, it's about the hearts. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider the great things he hath done for you. Christian, this is what I want you to think about. Are you serving God, either within these walls or outside them? Number one, are you serving him? Number two is, what are your motives for serving him? I'm pleading with you. If you want to see these changes in yourself or your family or your church, you need to fear him and you need to serve him.